Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I don't think it's much of an exaggeration to say that for 364 days of the year, we busy ourselves, we distract ourselves, we try to convince ourselves of the opposite of what Ash Wednesday says. In short, we try to deny most of the year that we are mortal. And on this one day of the year, we gather and we say the words and hear the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Remember that you will die." And it goes further. "Remember that everyone you love, all of your loved ones, will also go the way of death. It is unavoidable, as much as we work to avoid it. As much as we try to avoid or deny suffering and death, it happens anyway." And so the Church in its wisdom has said, at least on one day, let us be very clear. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. This Ash Wednesday is very, very different. This Ash Wednesday, this Lent, marks the one-year anniversary of the Church's closing because of COVID-19. It has been a year of suffering, a year in which we have felt the isolation, the loneliness, the insecurity, all of the things that we know we try to avoid the rest of in normal time have come to us. And we have to face them, and we have faced them, and we are living through them still. This Ash Wednesday, perhaps then, is the best opportunity for us, and actually the first step in our whole Lenten journey, to actually examine the idea of our suffering and our mortality. This Ash Wednesday, we already know our mortality. We already know that the virus is close to us. We know. We feel it. We experience it. going to take just a second here. I think we have a little technical problem, so hold on just one moment. We'll pause the story here. Okay, that should be better. So this year we have entered into the kind of suffering that actually much of the rest of the world feels most of the time, even before COVID. The insecurity, the sense of helplessness, the sense that maybe it's just so hard to do day-to-day things. This is the suffering that much of the world has, and we this year have entered into that. We've witnessed it, not from a safe distance, but actually from within the suffering. We know it. It's gotten into our bones. Those bones that have been crushed, that sounds something like us. And so this Ash Wednesday, we don't have to overemphasize this. We know it. The question is then, what are we going to do with this knowledge, this experience of having this suffering among us? We are, in fact, it feels like to me, living in something like a throwback era. Or maybe, like I said, some less secure nations even today, where growing old was not taken for granted. Can get a little bit at this with one day at dinner, my grandson, 4 years old, he's had a year of COVID. Basically, his life is life with the illness, as he calls it, sounding a little bit like someone from a Jane Austen novel, but the illness. One day he popped up as he was eating dinner, he just looked up and he said, "Huh, I'm surprised that we're all still alive. I'm surprised that we're all still alive." That seems to me to articulate what we learned this year, that our life is precarious, that our life is not to be taken for granted, that our lives, as important as they are precious lives, should not be taken for granted. And so we enter into this. What are we supposed to do with this? Okay, the first half of our experience, the first half of our spiritual walk, is to get a grasp on our mortality. To be able to say, yeah, that's true. Now what? And the now what is to then turn to Jesus and what he has done. For he too, like us, has entered into the suffering of this world. Came from heaven and entered into the world of suffering. Because in the mystery of God in Christ Jesus, it was through suffering that Jesus was going to save, heal the world. Remember, the word for save and the word for heal is the very same in Greek. Through his suffering, through his entering into our suffering, somehow, mysteriously, Jesus was to heal the world. And so, for us during this Ash Wednesday and during this time of Lent, is an opportunity for us to examine our last year's worth of suffering and struggle. What are we going to do with it? Try to ignore it? Try to put it behind us? I don't think those strategies work. Nor do I think they are faithful to Jesus. Instead, what I offer is this, that we begin to see our experience of this past year and all of our experiences, because of course we've suffered before that, and of course there's other sufferings in this world, besides COVID-19. But take all of our sufferings and put them where they belong. First step, acknowledge them. Feel them. Let them in. Feel the suffering of the world and of one's own suffering. And then, well, let me take one step back. When we're doing that, we don't do it in a heroic way, as to say, like, I can handle this suffering. Nor do we do it in a victimized way, like, I'm suffering, please help me. Instead, both of those, it seems to me, is a little bit like what Jesus is talking about, saying, praying out loud so that people can hear you, or giving alms in public so people can see you. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is actually just simply feeling the suffering. And certainly then, after feeling them, acknowledging them, then putting them where they rightfully belong. And where they rightfully belong is in the heart of Jesus. There is a prayer that I think is really gets to the spirit of Lent and the spirit of the year we have just been through. And so I invite you during this Lent to take the opportunity to pray this simple prayer repetitively. If you have a prayer rope, to pray on your beads and let that be the way you count the repetitions, or the way that you let your body enter into this prayer. But the prayer is this: Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, you suffered for the sake of the world. Add my suffering to yours and transform it for the healing of all. Praying this prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, you suffered for the sake of the world. Add my suffering to yours and transform it for the healing of all. That invites us into the great mystery of God. Who knows why, but for some reason, God has deigned that through entering into suffering it, and offering it back up, there is healing. And we can take the whole year of last year, which everybody, you might just want to write it right off and say, I want to just do nothing but forget it. Instead, turn that over to God. Turn that over to our brother Jesus, who is suffering for us. And add our suffering to that suffering that is transformed mysteriously into salvation and healing and wholeness. And Lord, have mercy, after 40 days, life from the grave. Let this be our Lenten prayer as we walk together these 40 days. Amen.